This is a true story taken from an actual medical file.
Good evening, and welcome to Medical File. I'm Dr. Melvin Hoffman, your host for this half hour. Tonight I have a story for you which points up ways of thinking which are alien to our own, but which are nevertheless very real. It's not pleasant to think that eminent doctors, given to a dedicated calling, can be manipulated by the power-hungry hands of a dictatorship. Yet this can, and does happen, even in the world of today. Tonight's story tells of intrigue, of plotting and counterplotting, and above all, of a doctor who had to choose between two loyalties, to his country and to his profession. I call this story simply, A Member of the Government.
Medical File. Factual stories of the men and women whose vigilance guards our lives. A reconstruction of clinical case histories, step by step, with the doctors who were there. Tonight, you'll hear the story, A Member of the Government, by Peter Yeldham, in Medical File.
Sir Joseph Remmer, an average surgeon attending to average patients in an East European city. It was a wintry January day when two men came to call. A day Dr. Remmer will never forget or ever want to remember. On that morning, Dr. Remmer was in his consulting room examining a young man who needed an operation, explaining to him what had to be done and why.
You see, Kurtz, the damaged membrane covering the lung has to be removed if you're to have free use of the underlying lung in the future, and... Excuse me. What is it, please?
Oh, I'm sorry, Dr. Remmer. There's an urgent message for you.
Elsa, I'm busy. Bring it to me later.
I'm afraid I... Doctor, there are two men in the waiting room. They insist on seeing you at once.
Oh, very well. Let me see the message. Excuse me, Kurtz.
But doctor, should I tell them you have no appointments available today?
Oh, no, no. You'd better ask them in. Have them wait in my private sitting room.
Yes, doctor.
I think, tell them I'll be with them just as soon as I'm through with my patient.
Yes, doctor. I'll tell them to wait.
Schultz of all people. Oh, look, I'm sorry for this interruption, Mr. Kurtz. Now, getting back to what I was saying about the removal of the damaged membrane, I think it should come out as soon as possible.
Ah, Dr. Remmer, at last.
My apologies, gentlemen. I had the patient with me.
That's quite all right. Now, I don't think you know my colleague, Anton Rolf.
No, we haven't had the pleasure. How do you do, Mr. Rolf? Well, gentlemen, your note said that this was a matter of some urgency.
And secrecy, Doctor. Can your nurse be trusted?
Elsa? Completely.
Good. And we think we can trust you, Doctor. Our inquiries have made us believe so.
Inquiries?
You don't think we came here by accident, do you, Doctor? Or by picking your name from the telephone book?
I'm afraid I don't understand.
You will, Doctor. Within about 12 hours or less. In fact, we want you to be available at 8 o'clock this evening.
You people are taking a lot for granted. In the first place, I have other arrangements for this evening.
This is an urgent case, Doctor. I'm sure there have been other times when you've had to change your arrangements at the last moment.
Oh, perhaps, but before I make any alterations to my plans for tonight, I want to know what the devil this is all about and who I'm supposed to see.
Tonight, Dr. Remmer, tonight, you'll understand. For the moment, let us merely say you are to see a member of the government.
I'm sorry, I'm not such a fool. Schultz, you're the head of the Ministry of Information and you're a close friend.
Doctor, If I were you, I should not make too many guesses at this stage.
There have been rumors in the newspaper that she was ill.
The editors have already been reprimanded. And now I suggest that we stop this foolishness.
Look, Rolf, who are you?
I am a friend of the state. And I hope you are, Doctor.
Just what is that supposed to mean?
I have made a very close study of your record. There were certain incidents when you were a student.
Ah, there are always incidents when people are students. It would be very strange if there were not, but now I have no politics, not anymore.
I hope not, Doctor. Good. Then tonight at 8. We shall call for you, Dr. Emma.
I apologize for the disconcerting, very necessary precautions, Doctor. The secrecy and the closed car that brought you here. You know, of course, where we are.
Naturally.
Believe me, the precautions were not to prevent you from knowing as to what you must know. They were to avoid having others learn of your presence here tonight.
Yes, I understand.
You know who I am, of course?
Dr. Platz, isn't it?
Yeah, Nicholas Platz, state physician. We may have met somewhere at an official reception.
No, I don't think so.
Dr. Emma does not attend official receptions. Dr. Emma is a man dedicated to his work.
I see. I think that is perhaps why we have chosen him.
Yes, but perhaps somebody will explain what it is I've been chosen for.
Our leader is a sick man, Dr. Emma. He has been under the care of his physician for the past month.
Then the newspaper rumors, they are true.
The fact does not excuse their being published. The illness of the head of state does not call for blazing headlines or even gossip column whispers.
So you want it kept from the people?
Giving more importance to this, I want your word, Dr. Emma, that whatever is said within these walls tonight will not be repeated when you leave to anyone.
Very well, you have my word.
Then listen. The head of state is ill. Dr. Platz says it is possible an operation will restore him to health. He will give you the details.
In what way is he ill?
For several years, he's been suffering from coronary artery stenosis, Doctor.
So, yeah?
And during the past 12 months, he has had several attacks of angina. Last month, the condition has been particularly severe, and we think that unless surgical treatment is carried out, he may not live until the end of the year.
I see. So you want me to examine the patient, take part in a consultation, and confirm your diagnosis, is that right?
That is part of it, Doctor. But then also, if you consider surgical treatment necessary, we want you to carry out the operation.
The operation?
You understand now, Doctor, why so many inquiries had to be made.
Well, Emma? You've examined Lars Woodson and read the case history. What do you think?
Well, he's obviously in need of surgical treatment. I see from the series of electrocardiograms that there are two definite pictures. These ones taken after he'd been exercising show signs of a coronary insufficiency, but these signs are decidedly less after a period of rest. And the history shows that when the attacks occurred, the patient always responded well to nitrite.
Yes, that's quite so.
All other tests point to a genuine angina pectoris.
Well, at least you confirm my diagnosis. I think our layman friends in the government were skeptical. So, Doctor, what's to be done?
Look, Platt, this is madness.
My dear...
Listen to me, will you? What's the matter with them? Why do they want me to do it?
It seems they consider you eminently qualified.
I'm qualified to do the operation. Perhaps I've done it many times, but this...
Our leader is a man, Emma, the same as any other. A little more vain, perhaps, but after all, he was a factory worker once, and now he's the head of the state. So, I suppose vanity can be excused.
Platz, you don't even know what I'm talking about.
I think I do. You're wondering why you, the Bremer, a surgeon of the state hospital and a private consultant, should be chosen like this, out of all the eminent members of our profession. Granted, you have a good record, and you're a conscientious surgeon, but you've never done anything outstanding to raise us.
There are so many others, Professor Vashchek, Dr. Corley.
Yes, of course, there are others, yes. But you see, Professor Vashchek is considered, well, politically unreliable. And Dr. Corder is not in favor of those around our leader.
Yes, but there are also other great surgeons in Berlin or Vienna or Paris.
And my dear Emma, There are newspaper men in those places.
In heaven's name, isn't Nashvuce's life more important than a bunch of newspaper reports?
Doctor, you've been too long with your scalpel in your books. There are things you should learn about our leader, about any dictator. You see, such a man must not be ill. He must always be in good health. Because if the world headline should declare otherwise, then there are people ready and waiting to take their chance and, shall we say, enforce political complications.
So they're all afraid. Everyone around him. They're afraid that the iron rule of this country might be...
Doctor, I'd be careful with such talk.
Why, you stated it. Now take Schultz, the information minister, and this man Rolf, whoever he is. You mean people like them have built a legend out of a sick and ailing man, and now they're frightened that they...
Doctor, you finished your examination?
Yes, I'm finished.
Then I take it that an operation will be necessary.
Oh, yes. It's the logical way of correcting this condition. However, in this case, I don't think it's possible. Not the usual operation. The patient, I think, is too weak to stand it.
Doctor,
I'm also... I don't think I'm the man to undertake whatever may be possible. Perhaps your inquiries didn't tell you, gentlemen, but... I have never been in sympathy with the regime. If I had been, I may have risen higher at the hospital in my profession. Isn't that so, Dr. Price?
Now, look here,
some operation will be necessary. But you'll have to get someone else. I'll respect your wishes to keep silent on this matter, but I can't do any more than that.
Wait! Don't go! Doctor, despite your modesty, we think you're eminently suitable. And you agree that an operation must be performed. Someone will call for you the day after tomorrow, at 9 in the morning. The operation will take place here, at 11 o'clock. You understand? That is all, Doctor. Good evening.
Dr. Joseph Remmer left the official state residence and was driven home. He knew then why he had been chosen. He knew it, looking into the dark eyes of the man who called himself Anton Rolf. It was not because of his chance of succeeding in this operation, but because the order of tomorrow was failure. Under Remmer's hands on the operating table, the order of tomorrow was death for the leader.
You are listening to Medical File.
When Dr. Joseph Remmer arrived home late that evening, there were certain things that had to be done at once. The first of these...
Hello, Elsa, this is Dr. Remmer.
Doctor, is something wrong?
Look, Elsa, I'm sorry to disturb you so late at night, but there's a rather important matter that's come up, and I'd like you please to take care of it first thing in the morning.
Oh, yes, Doctor, what is it?
Will you please cancel all my appointments for the day after tomorrow?
But I've already done that.
Elsa, you say you've done it?
Yes, on your orders.
But I don't understand. When was this?
Earlier this evening, surely you remember. Hello, Doctor, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, I thought you'd hung up. It was about 8:30, I suppose, and Mr. Rolf phoned me and said he was speaking for you. He said you wanted all appointments cancelled for the day after tomorrow, so I sat down right away and rang them up. That was right, wasn't it, Doctor?
Yes, Elsa, that was right. I just wasn't told it had already been done.
Is there anything else, Doctor?
No, Elsa, nothing else, thank you. Good night.
Good night, Doctor.
Dr. Remmer, don't you think it is rather late for a telephone call, Doctor?
Look, Mr. Rolf, I've taken a great deal of trouble to reach you because there are several things I want to say.
Yeah, well...
First of all, if there's any advice to be given to my secretary about cancellation of appointments, then I'll be the one to give it.
I thought I'd save you the trouble, Doctor.
So kind of you. Did you also want to save me the trouble of repeating all I said over the telephone? Is that why my phone has been tapped?
I don't know what you mean.
I have no doubt. Well, let me tell you, and the tape recorder you doubtless have running, that I've decided to do the operation. I'll agree to do it, but only on one condition.
Condition? What condition?
I want an assistant.
Most certainly. Dr. Platt.
I'm afraid that's not good enough. I don't want Dr. Platt. I want my own assistant, somebody I can trust.
That's not very complimentary to Dr. Platt.
Possibly not. It doesn't matter. The man I have in mind is a personal friend and a fellow surgeon at the state hospital. His name is Ketzmann, Uldi Ketzmann.
I don't think I know.
No, but doubtless you will when we arrive. Now, I want your permission to consult Dr. Ketzmann and to have him assist me at the operation. Come in here, Rudy. We can talk without being interrupted.
Joseph, I still find this difficult to understand. 2 o'clock, and on early hour of the morning, you telephone to me and say you must see me, and you say soon I must assist you in some operation.
Tomorrow, my dear friend, 33 hours from now, and believe me, I'm not forcing you to assist. It's simply that I need someone I can trust, and finally, I've got their approval about you.
There's some kind of trouble.
Not exactly, but... I have to operate on Najvuce.
Our leader?
Exactly. You've probably heard rumors that he's ill. Well, those rumors are true. He has a coronary artery stenosis, and he's very weak. Too weak to withstand any major surgery.
But you said that you are to operate...
On the orders of Dr. Nicholas Platt, the state physician, and Schultz of the Ministry of Information, and a man named Anton Rolf.
Rolf?
Yes. I've only recently realized who he is. The chief of the secret police and the most likely man to take over as the next head of state. Took me all this time to work that one out.
Joseph, I don't understand.
Oh, it's simply not, Rudy. They don't think our leader can live. Platz has decided that. But they cannot afford to have him die at just any time. They have to know when he's going to die, you see, so that the people who want the power can move in quickly. And that's why there will be an operation that cannot succeed. And these people will be ready to take over on the moment of Nashvuce's death. I should imagine they have everything prepared.
But Joseph, this...
They'll say they were justified. They'll tell you the internal peace of our country and the overseas credit balance can both be saved by these measures.
You mean that when, if he dies on the operating table tomorrow, Anton Rolf will establish himself as the new head of state before anyone can make a move?
Hmm. I think we both agree, Rudy, that this country under Rolf would be no place for anyone, but that's politics. And I don't want politics to be any part of this.
How can it be anything else?
Tomorrow it is to be an operation. I want it to be medicine, not politics.
Yeah, but can it be? When they want him to die and you're chosen to be the one?
No, I'm under no illusions as to why I was chosen. You see, there were some incidents, as Rolf puts it, when I was a student. I'm afraid they need someone to blame. That's always the case, and in this case, it's me.
There's one way out of this for you, Joseph.
And what's that, my friend?
You can refuse to operate.
No, I'm afraid I couldn't.
There are ways to disappear.
Oh, yeah. But there's also my wife and family, my home, the practice I've built up. And there is just one thing more.
What is that?
I've already accepted Najvuce as my patient. And with your help, I think I can save his life. Gentlemen, if you're ready, it's almost 11 o'clock. The patient has been given an anesthetic, and my assistant and I are ready to begin.
I think, first of all, Doctor, we might have an explanation of what you intend to do.
I'm going to operate, gentlemen.
Then you reverse your diagnosis of yesterday that the patient was too weak.
I do.
Good. Let's get on with it. Dr. Platz has already given us details of the operation, so we can now follow the program.
Excellent. Except that I don't intend to perform the standard operation.
I see. Just one moment, Dr. Rammer. Explain that.
You don't intend to carry out the standard procedure in an important case like this?
No. I think the standard procedure would most certainly kill the patient.
Please, gentlemen. Give the doctor a chance to explain.
I've already explained it to the patient himself. Our leader has agreed to leave it entirely in my hands. I'm prepared to take whatever risk may be involved.
But what method of treatment do you intend to use?
Briefly, it is this. To correct his heart ailment, he has to sever certain nerves leading to the heart itself. The standard procedure is an opening into the chest and, at times, the collapsing of one lung to reach the nerve centers. But here, if we attempted to open the chest, it would kill the patient. So instead, I intend to try and reach the nerve by means of a pneumothorax needle and destroy the nerve center by cauterization.
Dr. Platz!
An interesting theory, Rama, but a risk I think that shouldn't be allowed.
If the general has already agreed to the treatment, then it must take place.
Thank you, Mr. Schultz. I assure you that it can be done without undue strain on the patient. Now, if you're ready, we can begin.
Dr. Joseph Rama went ahead with preparations for the operation, and no one stopped him. And in the small theater, ringed by party officials in white masks and gowns, they began.
Scalpel.
Scalpel, Doctor.
Gentlemen, we're making an incision beneath the left armpit. Swab, please.
The incision was made, the area swabbed clean of blood. The pneumothorax needle, an instrument the thickness of a pencil and hollow, was then introduced through the wall of the thorax. Carefully, patiently, the lung was collapsed.
Now the lung is fully collapsed, beating in time with the heart. No complications, no adhesions. We are now going to connect the thoracoscope and darken the room, if you wouldn't mind. Thank you. I'm sorry, gentlemen, for the momentary discomfort of darkness. Perhaps Dr. Platz will explain to you what a thoracoscope is.
Well, Platz?
It's a kind of internal telescope, gentlemen, which can be connected to the pneumothorax needle. Dr. Rama is about to introduce the cautery, an electric instrument whose point can be red hot to destroy the nerve ganglia. Through the thoracoscope, he can see exactly what he's doing.
Thank you, Dr. Platz.
It seems to me, Platz, that you might have made us aware of this treatment.
Cautery, please. Pulse unchanged, Doctor.
Unchanged.
Lung pressure gauge?
Zero.
Yes, the nerve ganglia is now visible. Gentlemen, these are the ganglia of the sympathetic nerve, which sends fibers to the heart and can interfere with its blood supply. Current, please.
Dr. Rama cauterized the nerves responsible for the heart damage. The current was then switched off, the cautery removed, and all tubes and equipment of the thoracoscope and the needle were withdrawn. Then the surface wound was carefully stitched, and the patient was wheeled away. The following morning, the state radio carried the news. The head of state had had a minor operation and was now on the way to complete recovery.
Dr. Rama, forgive me for intruding. We've taken up far too much of your time already.
Mr. Schultz, and where's your good friend Anton Wolf?
He's no friend of mine, Doctor.
No.
He and Platz, they were plotting to let Najbucci die. It would have happened but for you, which is why I'm here.
They really wanted him to die.
They had the machinery already to take over the government, Doctor. And no matter what you may think of us in the present government, life under Anton Wolf would have been infinitely worse.
Yes, I can well imagine. But tell me something, why was I chosen for this?
It seems that was Platz's idea. He thought you were the kind of surgeon he could handle, the kind who would be overawed by the occasion and do what he was told.
I see.
You were very lucky, Doctor. When you asked for an assistant, when you insisted there should be others present to witness the operation, Anton Rolf had to allow it. He had to make everything look natural. And he was acting on the advice of Dr. Platz that you would operate, and that our leader would undoubtedly die.
I'm beginning to realize how lucky I was.
Very wise, too. But I've come to tell you that you'll find our leader's gratitude will reward you well.
Oh, I don't know that.
Nevertheless, Doctor, you performed an operation, and you're entitled to receive a fee. Najbucci asks you to accept this.
Thank you.
Aren't you going to open it?
Later.
You don't like us very much, do you, Doctor? any of us, no matter what side we're on, whether it's Rob or Dr. Platz or Nashbuchi or me.
No, Schultz. You see, I remember this country when it was free, as it may be again one day.
All right, Doctor. Stick to your scalpel. Let those who are qualified run the country. We know what's best for the people. There's plenty of freedom here. And I'd be careful about saying otherwise.
It's a matter of opinion. But I'll be careful.
Now, there's another matter. For obvious reasons, no word of the truth on this operation can be allowed to reach our newspapers or the foreign press. We understand it's your practice to dictate a record of your operations to keep for your files.
That's right.
I'm sorry, Doctor, but all such records must be confiscated. And if you do not hand them over voluntarily, then we shall be forced to search. But those records must be in our keeping. Anywhere else, they are a danger to the state.
It doesn't always work out for the best. Many men, like Dr. Remmer, have paid with their lives for taking such a courageous stand against those who seek absolute power. And it took a great deal of courage for Remmer to do what he did, knowing that all that was wanted of him was that he be the scapegoat, the one on whom all blame could be shifted. It's encouraging to know that, despite the odds against them, men such as this are not defeated. And as long as they go on trying, there is hope. I'll be back again next week with a further story for my medical file. So until then, this is Melvin Hoffman wishing you all good night.
Medical File. The documented story of the men and women who in hospitals, research centers, and lonely surgeries guard our lives. Tonight's story, A Member of the Government, was directed by John Seeliger and produced by David Manley. Listen again next week for another true story from Medical File.